Hey, Raul, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you, Zach?
Terrific. We are at the next to the last episode of 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time in this series of episodes that we're doing together. And I have good news to report this week.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, my Mac is back. It came back after, a day shy of 2 weeks. And I can't be happier. I was jumping between the iPad Pro with mouse and keyboard and a display, and eventually borrowed my daughter's Chromebook and found that I was happier using a Chromebook, in a clamshell mode, like a laptop anyway, but with three tabs side by side by side, something I can't do on an iPad Pro. And then I had to do that for 1 day. And it was a crazy experience actually getting my computer from UPS. But I'll save that story for Happy Hour podcast. But just suffice to say, it's here and I'm using it right now and I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I'm sure it's way more comfortable and, feels more at home.
Yeah, I got a whole new display, a whole new lid. So the bottom half is the same with the little dings in it, and I did have to do like a Time Machine restore from backup because it came back with no data on it. Mm-hmm. The whole top display is brand new, I had a sticker on it that I lost in the experience. It was okay, I'll buy it again. But I also lost the dents on the corners of the displays. Now I only have minor cosmetic damage instead of on four corners, just two now. So I'm excited.
Cool.
Let's talk about some fitness stuff. So last week my homework request to you was to jot down some thoughts in some way, either before or after, however, before you run, after you run, to just kind of get some ideas of your experience, before and post. So, were you able to do that? If so, how'd it go?
I kind of did that. I mean, I didn't write down like run reports that I usually tend to do for all the runs that I find kind of interesting in different ways. If I'm preparing for a race, I will, do a trial of, let's try the nutrition before or after what I wore, how the weather felt, if I'm doing a trial race pace kind of a thing. For that kind of stuff, I usually just put my notes all in Tempo, which has a notes section under workout details for every workout. For this one, I actually just cheated and just wrote everything in one note in the notes app. Just one liners before and after. There's not much. I think I missed yesterday. Yeah. Overall, it's as expected. Whatever was on my mind before the run. I mean, I could go over those if you want me to.
If you feel comfortable sharing, that's to me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So last Thursday was the first one after our conversation. That was like the day right after when Dick Hoyt passed away. He was 80 years old. So for folks who don't know about him, he's like a huge icon for the Boston Marathon and Team Hoyt. It's a father and son team. They're very well known in terms of, so Rick, Dick's son, was born, handicapped, and can't speak and walk. But at the age of, 14, 15 years old, he asked his dad that he wanted to participate in a race. So his dad decided that he would just push him in his chair, and that led to a brand new lifestyle of where the dad and son team basically participated in, I don't know, so many races. I mean, they were very famous. They are super famous here in Boston. You can, as they pass different towns here in Boston during the marathon, it's like the screams are like just, it's like you would go deaf. That's how loud everybody's cheering for them. So, the dad passed away last Wednesday. So my mind was kind of like, I woke up and I was still thinking about that. So basically my pre-run thought was like, this is dedicated to Team Hoyt. And as I was running, I was just thinking like how many times they've run the Boston course. My daily route goes by the Heartbreak Hill, which is the toughest part of the marathon around mile 19 and 20. So that's what I was thinking about. When I came back, I was kind of in a mode where I was trying this new mileage routine. So it was kind of like slightly higher mileage. So I was a little bit sore and I was like, okay, I need to really like take the day off next day and just take it easy and stretch and whatnot. So that was my post-run thought. So Friday was off. Saturday, I actually had to do a bunch of things in the morning. So I couldn't go get out for my run until 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And at that time, I found myself not eating lunch and just like procrastinating getting out. And my pre-run thought was like, I have to get out now before it's too late. And I went out and came back feeling super good. So that was like post-run thought was like, this was awesome. I'm glad I did it. And all the like, it was sunny outside and the run felt so good. I think this is the first time this season I was able to run in shorts. So it just turned into like one of those runs, which was like, okay, this was just perfect. And what I wrote down in the notes here is like, you know, spring miles are paying off, winter miles are paying off with like spring smiles.
Awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, that was it. Sunday was kind of a bummer because I heard about, I have a cousin who was COVID positive back in November, and it looks like he had some complications. We're hoping it's related to COVID. So he was going through all sorts of like tests and was actually at the hospital. He's back home now. He's feeling better, but pre-run was basically just thinking about that. And post-run, I came back, I was still thinking about that. So that was that. Yeah. Monday was again, like, you know, I kind of felt super tired. I mean, Sunday was actually run wise was okay, but I ran both Saturday and Sunday fairly longish. I think I did like 8 or 9 miles both the days. So Monday morning after the entire week, the previous week and Saturday and Sunday's runs, I was super sore. So I was just like tired, and pre-run, all I have said is like, I'm tired. And post-run, glad it was over. And then yesterday I missed it. This morning it was like, I had to wake up early and go. So I was like trying to decide which one should I run, 4 mile or 6 mile, because I was up early and trying to decide, should I go east or west? And then I just ran one route and came back, and there's nothing for the post, run thoughts here. That was it.
I like that a lot. Man, there's book I listened to, I'm going to butcher his last name, but you know, Meb, marathon runner.
Mm-hmm. Meb Keflezighi.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you for that. His book, 26 Marathons, I listened to, as an audio book when it came out, and there's so many things to take away from that book, but, just in life from his approach to those marathons.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Absolutely. But something that was specific to running was that to have three goals before a race, so that, you know, even if you don't meet your top goal, then you've got the next two that you can fall back on that still motivate you. And you know, if you miss the second one, you've got the third one that you can probably reach. And so I would certainly do that for races I was doing after I heard that from his book. But even for like life now, I'm doing that where like big picture, here's a big picture goal. Top goal I want to do is this thing, you know, if I can't, you know, hit that far, I'm going to, you know, land in the middle right here. And at the very least, I am going to get this part of it achieved, you know, and that's been something that helps me not just be, on and off, you know, you're going to make it, you're not going to make it, but it's that different degrees of success based on what you do ahead of time. From that, also just from listening to his book, just listening to, you know, say this was after this race, this is how I break it down. I would do that, specifically with races is just look at, you know, how did this go? What do I want to do next time based on this situation, so that everything builds, every, you know, new experience builds from the previous one. And again, that can be race specific, but also life specific. You know, it really makes you intentional about what you're doing. So that just this exercise, I didn't really plan for it to be that way, but the way that you describe how you did it reminds me a lot of that.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, I mean, Meb is such an inspiration, but running marathons really can be really a way of living your life kind of a thing. I mean, every race for me is very different, and somehow marathons have like a way of like just turning things on you. Because there are so many factors, no matter how well you've trained at the end of the day, on the race day, so many things that could just change everything for you because it's such a long distance. So it kind of maps nicely with like life overall. And I haven't read that book. It's been on my list for the longest time. So I'm going to go
finally a book I can say that I experienced that he had. Yeah. That's awesome. And then your homework assignment to me was to track sleep throughout the week, which I did. And then there was also a bonus bit of homework that you added throughout in the middle of the week that we'll get to. Just in terms of sleep tracking, I used the Apple Watch specifically for that reason this past week. And kind of the key insights that I had is. The kids were with me all last week, and up until Monday morning, I dropped them off on Monday morning at school and daycare, and then their mom picks them up. And I realized that sometimes low sleep numbers don't reflect that you're doing negatively in life, poorly in life, because something that I wanted to do last week with having the kids around was get them to bed, and then sometimes we'll often clean up together, but because so much was going on in their lives, I really wanted to make it comfortable for them. And so say, you know, you guys play as much as you want. You know, I'm kind of welcoming them into this new space that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And so but I didn't want to wake up with everything from yesterday still there. I wanted to make sure I was resetting the house every night and also having a little bit of time to myself, you know, because they're with me on a weekend, then it's the, you know, from time you wake up to time you go to bed. And so I made a point last week to always do the dishes and pick up all the toys and clean up, make sure that when we wake up, it's as if I were going to have company over or something, that it's the house is reset. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And that also meant, you know, waiting a little longer for them to actually fall asleep and everything before I get back up so that I don't disturb them and then getting in bed much later than I could have because otherwise I could have just gone to sleep when they did. And but it was really good to wake up in the morning and be like, oh, this is like a gift that I presented to myself prepared for last night, and this morning I get to experience it. And so that resulted in some numbers like 5 hours, you know. And some other factors that I looked just from the last week of information as data is that there's a bridge that's out nearby that the city is repairing and upgrading, and that makes our usual commute of 10 minutes about 40 minutes one way. And so we have to get up really early to make sure that we're not going to be late in case there is traffic or something else on the other route that we have to take now just for the next month and a half. And so those two things combined, I was like, why am I seeing like 4.5-5 hours of sleep? It felt like a good week. And then I realized, well, I'm doing things in the evening to make sure that the next day is smoother. And then we're having to get up earlier than usual to get to school and daycare on time. And that putting that in context was good. It was like, okay, those are rotten numbers, I found, you know, time to rest throughout the day in other ways, you know, not full on another 4 hours of sleep, but, you know, just some downtime that was good. And so I looked at that and that was healthy. And then the first night that I didn't have the kids, it was like I was up pretty late, probably till midnight. And I didn't think about that. I was just, you know, just up and doing stuff. And then in the morning, I start my work day at 8 a.m. Central time. And I didn't set an alarm or anything. And I woke up at about 8:13 a.m., a little bit late, but it's totally okay. And I was thinking, why did I sleep in today? Like, I've been getting up so early with the kids. What made this so different without just because I didn't have an alarm? And I realized, oh, no, I guess I was up late last night. And this is the first, you know, actual set of 8 hours I've had in maybe 3 weeks. So,
wow.
So that was good. And all that to say, like, man, the context is so important when you're looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
That it just the general blanket numbers, you know, what the Apple Watch will give you is very general, and patterns over time, but not necessarily like the types of sleep you had. So, it's one of those things where even if you're just looking at it, you know, surface level stuff and not the different types of sleep throughout the night, that context is so important to making sense of it. So, and in terms of like doing it continuously, it's probably, I don't know. I think you have to go in with a reason for it. Like, you know, the big curiosity is like, what can you do with the data? What insights can you gain? Can you change, you know, patterns about, you know, what maybe if you drink coffee before bed, then you get worse sleep and that kind of thing. If you work out before bed, then you're having trouble falling asleep or that kind of thing. If you miss a workout, do you sleep worse because of it and those things? But generally, you know, I'm not sure there's something that you have to do every single night and all the time.
So I got a bunch to add to this in terms of if you want me to go into it.
Please do.
I will speak from my experience and generally, like, you know, coming from as a reader of why we sleep and where I have gone with tracking my sleep for now, I think almost 3 weeks at this point. What I learned from the book was sleep is essential to the point where you have to have at least seven and a half hours of sleep every night. Even if you think that you can last without those many hours, there's something else going on that you should look into. There might be other symptoms here. You might be like just used to it, and you will, if once you start improving and getting to that level of like 7 to 8 hours a day, you will find a big difference. And my tracking my sleep essentially was, okay, let me see what the patterns are. And initially for the first week, I was like, okay, my heart rate is dropping so much. I can see how still I am. I can see how often I sleep light, deep, you know, if I'm getting any REM, which is very hard to detect just wearing an Apple Watch because it needs a way more advanced, equipment. But there is a way to like kind of like mapping it with, you know, heart rate and whatnot. And what I've noticed is after tracking that, it kind of has caused me to start being more aware and careful about my sleep pattern and be more disciplined. It's almost like the data is speaking back to me in terms of like, okay, I was able to get 7-8 hours because I did these things, or I was not able to because I did these things. So my evening hours now are like very much approached in terms of like, how can I get to bed in time? And everything maps that way. So, and as the data has improved, and as I have been consistent with my sleeping pattern, I have seen a huge drop in my resting heart rate. I have seen bump in my running pace. I've seen bump in terms of, you know, my sugar cravings or general cravings throughout the day and what I'm eating and whatnot, which all like, I mean, I can say that, hey, I just discovered something, but no, this is exactly what the book talks about. And
yeah,
it's kind of amazing. So I think, you know, if you were to ask me, like, what is the, like, going back to your question about, you know, what is the criteria here? The criteria for me is to get back to the level, or I don't know, back to is an accurate word, but I guess it is, because before kids, that was possible for me, like get back to the level of like, you know, 8-9 hours, whatever that might be, where I can just sleep straight. I mean, even looking at my data and now having that data, I am like way more aware about how restless I am during my sleep at night. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give, like at this point, I know where I'm at and I could easily put the watch away and say, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. But one of, so this is kind of weird, but I realized that I can wake up any time in the morning if you tell me the night before. And this sure, is a weirdest thing that my wife told me. She was like, how can you do that without setting an alarm? I'm like, I don't know, just wake up. And what I realized was I would wake up in the middle of the night multiple times and look at the clock and go back to sleep, which is the worst thing because what you're doing is essentially you're never sleeping deep enough. Or at least that's what I realized for myself. And with the watch on, I started setting an alarm for myself and it's completely changed. Now I don't look at the clock and it just doesn't make me wake up to the point of like opening my eyes, even if I'm like pseudo awake in the middle of my sleep to want to go look at the clock and say, is it time to wake up yet? So just that has helped like with my sleeping pattern. So that's one of the key reasons why I wouldn't want to like take off my watch at this point in a way.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You from that homework challenge, you've come a long way of from, you know, you had the bad experience with the Ring product, and then I don't think you were this hyped up about sleep after the first few days.
I was not. No, I wasn't. I mean, I'm still not a fan of wearing my watch all the time, and especially while sleeping. And you know, I actually tried the Solo band just to see like if it works better. I just didn't find the right fit, to be honest. I had to return it, but I'm not a fan of like having this thing on my wrist, but it is what it is right now. I'm actually looking into alternatives if there are any to see, or maybe, you know, by fall, Apple will have better options too, hopefully. But that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm very intrigued. I am playing with my data and seeing what I can figure out. I've been reading more about like, I did not know that there was no way to like actually conclude what the REM part of the sleep was just from the data yet. This is something I just recently learned about how all the data interacts and works together. So there's some research going on there too.
Right. Yeah. Cool. And I know Apple has Bedit, which we've discussed before. Mm-hmm. I've had a good experience with Withings products as well. Mm-hmm. So they make this smart scale that I have the best experience with, and their health, their version of the health app on the iPhone that they all their machines sync with is I found to be pretty good over the years, especially post Nokia. They've done a good job of keeping up with that. And I'm looking at their website and I guess March 19th was World Sleep Day. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. But they're doing 20% off their sleep tracking mat, which says it does do full sleep cycles with REM, with REM, so and heart rate. So again, you know, I didn't love the mat before, and this thing's usually $100, right now is $80 with this sale that they're doing, and that's a little more compelling. But I didn't like the mat a whole lot before, and I tried Bedit, but also I'm not crazy about wearing the watch to bed or having to manage battery life that way without or having a second watch just for this. So I'm much more curious now, especially after hearing your experience change over the last few weeks.
Yeah, just from what you described, I would say try to see if you can figure out a strategy for increasing the number of hours for your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, while we are not there yet, but I think I'm going to add that to your homework.
Okay, well, cool, cool. All right, and then the other thing that you mentioned in the middle of the week was, you know, you noticed that in Boston this spring was starting to show itself. And that you'd enjoy taking a walk outside, I believe. And you added an optional challenge to me, which was to take a 45-minute walk outside if I had the opportunity. which it did. And it was actually part of the MacBook story. So I found myself with 2.5 hours free, 2.5 hours where it was an issue to go back home, and I had nothing else to do. So I went over to the beach and the bridge where I like to run, and just took a walk. You mentioned you can throw in some jogging. Mm-hmm. You feel like it. I was wearing my like motorcycle boots, so they're heavy, so it wasn't the, I thought about taking them off and just like running barefoot, and I was like, nah, I'm just gonna take a pure walk, and I did, and my shades on and everything, and it was really and I was wearing jeans too, so that wasn't the best, but it was kind of an accidental situation, I really enjoyed it. And along the route, I was thinking about just the day as it had progressed, and it was a day that I dropped the kids off, and thinking about it's tough saying goodbye to my kids, for any amount mm-hmm. of time, but my son Rory, he's 3, and he always, I say, Rory, I'm gonna miss you, and I can't wait to see you again. And he says, don't worry, Daddy, I'm gonna see you again soon. Okay, if he's not worried, I'm not worried. So that was thinking about things like that as I was walking and seeing other people out always energizes me. And at one point I saw a guy with a guitar and a bucket that said tips in it. And he was playing for people if they were coming by and, giving him a tip. And I remembered that they're my final weeks in Florida and my first week and a half back in Mississippi, I didn't have my debit card, my physical debit card, just Apple Pay and getting cash from the ATM with my phone. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of change from using cash for 3 weeks. Change was like, it's kind of annoying. It's like, what am I going to do all that change? And I went back to my car and I put it in my backpack. And I picked up my backpack and I took it over, as I was walking, I just kind of doubled back to my car. And I said, I've got all this change from my car I need to get rid of. And I just dumped it in his bucket. And
nice.
Then he said, okay, well, let me play you a tune. And he did. And man, like that was just a cool experience. That it's one of those things where, okay, I need doing the homework, as a sign from you for this podcast. And I'm not sure that experience would have been created otherwise. So
awesome.
It was really cool. I mean, the song he sang, had to like, look, I didn't know it. So afterwards I went back to my phone and looked up the lyrics to see what it was. And it was the Hootie and the Blowfish song. And then the lyrics were like, all songs are meant to be general enough that anyone can relate in some way and, or about subjects that are so relatable. But it was just like, that was a really cool experience, man. And I, get back in my car and there's not all this change everywhere in the center console. And I'm happy about that. So it was really good. And it's one of those things where, The next 2 days, if it weren't for that day, was really bad weather and it was just storming and everything. So it was nice to take advantage of that spring day while we had it. And I'm sure they'll come back again. But that was fun.
Excellent. That's great to hear.
Yeah. 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time is sponsored this week by Pillow. Getting a good night's sleep is underrated, but with a little help, it can be life-changing. Pillow is an all-in-one sleep tracking solution to help you be more aware of your sleep patterns and discover what might be affecting your sleep quality. If you have an Apple Watch, tracking your sleep is as easy as wearing your Apple Watch during sleep. Pillow will track and analyze your sleep automatically. One of Pillow's most loved features is the ability to get a detailed heart rate diagram of every sleep session. And you can even compare your sleep quality with your weight, steps, caffeine consumption, and many more health metrics to discover how they might be affecting your sleep. Pillow can optionally record sounds you make during sleep, from sleep talking to sleep apnea or snoring, or other unexpected noises that might be affecting your sleep. A lot of users have been surprised by these results. Pillow is also very privacy-minded. All of your sleep and audio data is encrypted and stored on your device and your iCloud storage account using end-to-end encryption. Pillow does not have user accounts, so you can use it anonymously and it doesn't collect or send your personal data anywhere else. Naps boost your focus, creativity, and overall well-being. If you're working from home, you can also take naps using Pillow's power nap mode. If you need an alarm, Pillow can wake you up using your iPhone, Apple Watch, or iPad. And Pello uses a feature called extended runtime that minimizes battery consumption on the Apple Watch. Pello is available on the App Store for iPhone, Apple Watch, and iPad. Discover all of Pello's features at naybox.com/Pello. That's NEYBOX.com/PILLOW. Sleep well and stay safe. My thanks to Pello for sponsoring 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time.
Yeah, and my I wanted to give you a counter challenge since you were giving me one midweek as often when I said buy a motorcycle. Because similarly, you know, spring weather, I've really been enjoying riding around here. You know, the first few weeks I was here, the kids were with me the whole time, and so there was one night where they weren't, and then there was this past week, then there's been two nights so far where I haven't had them, and it's one of those things where, you know, it sucks not having the kids with me, because ideally, you know, they'd be with me every day. You know, we'd be together every day. But it's one of those, it's kind of neat where I can't ride the motorcycle when I have them, because my daughter's old enough to ride with me, but my son can't, you know, nowhere near yet. Mm-hmm. And I can't go with just one. And so it'd be a situation where they're with somebody else if I were to go out and ride. And so it's kind of balancing in that, you know, it sucks that they're not with me. I know they're going to be back again soon. But also setting aside, you know, the feelings I get from riding the motorcycle is, and having that associated with the week in between is a nice way to kind of reset and everything. So I've really been enjoying doing that. And I was surprised when I told you, you know, it's like, I was joking, of course. And I said, well, wait till your kid drive to college, whatever, because safety, obviously. But you sent me a picture of a BMW motorcycle that you've had on your desk for, what did you say, 7 years?
Yeah, something like that. Ever since I've had this desk in this place, it was a gift. It was a Father's Day gift from my it's actually interesting because my older one at that time was, I don't know, maybe, well, she was, so this was, she was probably 4 or 5. And she asked me, Daddy, what do you want for Father's Day? And I'm like, yeah, get me a motorcycle. And it was just a joke. And next thing you know is, like, on Father's Day, I had this like fancy package, and somehow my wife figured out where to order this from. And it is really well made, and she had to order it from like Canada. I should probably go look up, find the box. I have it in storage, and it looks, I mean, it's perfect. It's so it's been sitting on my desk ever since.
Yeah, that picture you sent me, I mean, this is a detailed little BMW motorcycle. I really like it.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. The form factor is, you know, I don't know if that's what you say for motorcycles, but generally the general styling and everything, the body and overall is something that speaks to me, because as a teenager, kid, early adult life of mine, growing up in India, specifically Bombay, which is called Mumbai now, I used to ride a motorcycle, if that's what we can call it, because it was a small one. It was more like a dirt bike, but kind of a motorcycle, but I rode that thing everywhere. And I have some really great memories about it. So it's taken me a long time to get past that, in the sense that, okay, I don't ride a motorcycle anymore. So it's been like almost like, you know, almost over 20 years at this point. So sometimes I feel like, yeah, someday I'll try do that again. But like you said, you know, once kids are in college and, you know, different life.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at a park one day playing with the kids, and I heard some other dads talking about, I didn't have my bike then with me, or I didn't have my bike with me or anything, because the kids were there. But I heard them saying, I want a motorcycle, but, you know, got kids and everything. And so you know, you don't have to wait. My daughter loves to ride with me, and I totally understand the idea. Yeah, man, that, and it also reminded me that something I shared in an earlier episode was that you know, the reason for running, you know, after that first week of homework, where, you know, I realized that I used to run to kind of unpack and go through thought and not be distracted by a phone and things like that. And And then more recently, motorcycle, you know, riding my motorbike has been that for me. Because, you know, you're not going to mess with the phone and you're not going to, you do anything else with your hands and you're in a, you know, you kind of have a good feeling going. So, and that running is shifted from that easy to do thing to, being more purposeful that it's specifically for, you know, health and fitness. So it's a good balance. So, I did not know that about you and the motorcycle stuff. So it was really, really cool. Something else I want to talk about this week, just briefly, is after we recorded last week, we sat on the call for a little while, and something that we were talking about, it just happened to come up, was thinking about things that when the Apple Watch was brand new in 2015 and it was released, what are some things about it that, you know, what are some things that you like about, you know, not having the watch in the mix, and that made that the phone did better before then, before the watch came into the picture. And then also, how has the watch changed since then? So this past week, when the first thing I did when my Mac came back and I was like, I can write again comfortably, is I went back and looked at my 2015 Apple Watch review and had the perspective of seven, what was it now? So in 2015, so it was 6 years time to look at the differences. And there were some things that I recalled that if I reread, I would find them. Things like I used to be able to set a custom ringtone for certain contacts. So if, you know, a partner texts me, then I know it's that person. If family texts me, I know it's that person. And if it's anybody else, it's not as important, and I don't look at it. And with the watch, you lose that, but you do gain, you know, you can glance at it and see who it is. So, more recently, you can change the tap pattern for who it is. So, which is nice, especially if you use your watch muted all the time. But there are some fun things like that. And then looking back at some early things, like I remember I called out the brightness of the display being just too weak for telling time and really bright sunlight that wasn't like overcast skies. And then looking at the next year, oh, it's went from 500 nits to 1,000 nits. And by the way, now we all know the term nits, you know, things like that. So that was a fun exercise to do. And, it was neat. So go and check that out if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the post. It was overall, it's amazing to see how the watch has evolved over time and what things have stayed the same. One thing I just realized was I think Apple deserves to be complimented on the fact that they've kept the band compatibility for all these models all this time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have a handful of them, and I mean, I believe you had at one point like a whole box, a bag of them. I remember seeing pictures of it. So it's kind of amazing. And who knows what they're going to do with this year's model. But until now, you know, it's kind of paid for itself, having to invest like, you know, at least $50 on if you're trying to go buy a band made by Apple specifically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And think about how many times the iPhone shape has changed in the meantime. Mm-hmm. So just from like the camera changing. So then you need a new iPhone case if you upgrade, you know, or your old one won't be compatible. So that is amazing. All right, let's talk about Tempo for a second. So for a minute. So what's been going on with Tempo in the past week since we last spoke?
So I released a version 3.3.3 last week, which was on Thursday, the day after we talked. And that was actually one of the feature requests from Paul, who we spoke about on, I think, in our second or third week episode.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. So that feature was kind of like, you know, it started something very simple. I didn't want to like go too far into like building something all, you know, from scratch. So it was something that I wanted to see if I could actually bring together some of the existing pieces in Tempo. And as it started, it was simple, but then over time it kind of evolved into like something really great, in the sense that it really has brought together a lot of like a couple of different parts of Tempo together in how powerful it can be. So what Paul wanted was like, he wanted to see trends for his tags, and Tempo has the ability to be able to tag your workouts You can work, you know, tags generally, you know, we can apply all sorts of contexts, right? And for a training log, you know, I use it for tracking my shoe mileages, tracking the routes I run, races, all sorts of things, like even sometimes the kind of weather conditions and whatnot. So you can imagine, like, if you have like a whole bunch of tags now applied to all your workouts from last so many years, it's natural to want to see like how those tags have evolved in terms of like the number of miles you've run, the pace and what, you know, and different parts of it. So as I started looking into it, I was like, you know, this would work nicely. So at that time, Tempo supported filters with the workout log. So you can filter with tags and you can just see the workouts for which the specific selected tags existed. With this new release, kind of like ported that over to what we call cumulative graph in Tempo, where it shows you the timeline of your entire training data, right from like day one of like the very first workout, run, walk or hike you did that is in the health app to the current day. And it just shows you a bar graph, a distance, days you've run, pace chart, everything in there. So now imagine having a graphical view of like, you know, just a visualization of tags, filters applied to this view. It just turned into like such an amazing rendering of like, okay, I can see like I've been doing my interval runs this way. The shoe kind of like dropped off here because I stopped using the shoe. And the combination is just like really powerful. And in the process, as I was doing that, someone on Twitter, Tempo user, asked me for like pace range based filtering. So added that as a filter and then added a filter for like distance range. So combining distance range, pace range, and tags, now you have like, you know, just a really good combination of like how you can visualize your training. And just doing that as I was building it, I've discovered like so many new trends based on tags, based on pace range, and more. I mean, and in addition, the distance and the pace range now. So the other part of filtering is the ability to do what I call as like power tagging in a way, because what it does is you can apply you can actually apply a filter to your workout log, and then the workouts that are shown for that filter, you can apply tags, multiple tags to all those workouts. So if you're starting brand new in Tempo and you have these runs or these walks that you want to apply tags to, but you don't want to go to individual workouts, you can use this power tagging to now apply tags to multiple things by applying these filters and then go into cumulative graph and visualize that. It really came out nicely. I was really happy to see how it worked out. So that was 333.
Cool. I love the feedback loop where one thing leads to another, and then you get to benefit from the app being better because of things that came from users.
Exactly. I mean, that's, you know, I often say this to a lot of folks in the emails. I ask them like, you know, I solicit for like, you know, just send me the feedback, even if you think it's a minor thing and if whether that's, you know, something that's obvious or not, because, you know, the goal of like building the best app is not just, you know, it cannot be done by one runner or one person, or one developer. And, you know, different folks will have different contexts and different things that would just converge into better solutions and better app. And that's how the app is going to become best, when it is actually applicable to all of us. So I really appreciate all the feedback I get and all the input I get, and then doing that with the beta folks as they're testing it too and just sending me more ideas is just really helpful.
I love that. You should call the beta testers at Tempo like trainers, so that they have a group name.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. It's almost like I need to figure out a way to, like, you know, I've considered setting up a Slack group or something, but then I'm not a Slack fan per se.
Okay.
It's too synchronous for me. So it makes me like completely get lost in like just conversations all day long. So
do a Discord.
Yeah, something. It would be nice to have like a community kind of a setup. And
yeah,
I mean, there could be a beta group part of it, which could be like one set, and then there could be an extended one. I mean, there's an opportunity here to like bring together, you know, the worldwide Tempo folks in some form. Yeah. It's like some sort of a Tempo club.
I love this. All right. What is your tip for Apple Watch users this week?
So have you spoken about segments for workouts? I can't remember.
I'm not sure if we have. I'm familiar with running and tap and doing that, but it's one of those hidden features.
Yeah. So it's something I just used it this morning. So I figured I should talk about that. During a run, you may have different reasons to, you know, basically break your run into different segments. Most common use cases, like if you're doing interval training where you would run for a certain distance or time, and then you would take a break, as in like run, you know, you run hard, then you run easy or walk or, you know, different ways. And as you do that, you can actually, in the workout app on the Apple Watch, you could do that, right, you know, without any kind of third-party apps or anything else. All you have to do is just, of course, your app doesn't have, it can't be locked. So this is the only time when I unlock the workout app during my workouts as I'm doing segments, and then I lock it back after I'm done with that. But the way it works is if you have the workout app running and you're running, you want to do a segment a run, you just double tap on the screen and it would instantly mark that point in the workout as a segment until that point. So, and as you repeat that, it takes the time, the point where you had the last segment to this current point, and it kind of breaks your runs into these separate segments. And your basically the workout app, when it shows a summary, you can actually, I think you can see the segments in there. You can definitely see it in the fitness app. And then obviously in Tempo, you have like a completely separate section under your splits. You would actually see a different segment control up on the top. It's just like a little tab. You can tap on that. It's just say segments, and it would show you your, instead of showing the splits for like a full mile or a kilometer, it would basically show you your segments based splits. So if you've done, if you did like interval runs for like quarter miles, it would basically show you. And because it's segments with running, segments are specifically interesting because you are doing it like in terms of like, I want to do a quarter mile in this much time and pace. So a lot of folks are interested in clock time. So it also shows you the duration of that specific segment. And then, of course, it shows you the cadence and the heart rate, average heart rate for that segment. And same way as what it does for the splits.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. My tip is simple. It's when I'm showing someone, especially like family, how to use the Apple Watch, the thing that I go to often for, this is how you start a workout, is, you know, I show them how to do it, how to, you know, click on the button or add the complication to the watch face, or they can just tap workout and then go to the list and find it. But I think what's pretty common there is if you're just starting out, you want it to be really easy and not have to think a lot about. And so something that I always recommend as the other way of doing it from the start is if you wanted to take a half hour walk, then hold down the crown, activate Siri and say, Siri, start a 30 minute outdoor walk. And if you can think in those terms, then it's that easy that you skip the whole process of going to the app grid or having the complication on the watch face and tapping it and launching it and picking the right workout and then picking the kind of duration you're looking for, whether, you know, your goal. Because I think what's pretty common is you got an open goal and you start doing it. But if you've got something in mind specific, you want to do half an hour, and it varies between, you know, what your activity is, then doing something specific with Siri, you know, say, Siri, start a 5 mile outdoor cycling exercise. And that's all you do. It just makes it so seamless compared to digging through screens and that kind of thing. And so I totally love recommending that to people. If you're comfortable talking to your devices in places, then then that's my go-to for even, you know, doing it. And then you don't have the time to walk thing in your way either. Mm-hmm. if you have that going. So, I guess getting experience with talking to Siri for starting specific workouts, getting comfortable with that is my tip and just trying that out. So.
Cool.
What health homework will you assign me this week, Raul?
I got a two-part homework for you. One is I would like you to try doing some runs again. So maybe at least do two workouts for a run-walk workout for about 10 minutes each at least, if not more. And not on the same day, preferably. And the second part is try to continue with the sleep tracking. And so you mentioned that your sleeping hours were what, 4 to 5 hours a night average?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would say try to bump it up to 6 hours if you can.
Okay. I mean, it's on the days without kids, it's like unlimited. There's no obstacles. The only obstacle is that I don't have my kids with me, you know, and that sucks. But yeah, I mean, that next day I got 8, a little bit over 8. And so, yeah, I can definitely hit that target.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, it's, I mean, it's better to, from what I understood from the book, it's better to like have the overall consistency versus like a catch up kind of a mode, because apparently you don't catch up after a certain time. It just is gone. It's a
right.
So I would say like try to get to 8, but I know that might not be just yet possible. So
sure. Yeah. And this will be fun because, half of it will be just me and then half of it will be with me and the kids. So I'll be able to be thoughtful about, you know, now that we're getting in a rhythm, apply that cleanup time to a group experience that we're all doing before they go to bed. And then, cause that's ideal, is that they're all involved in the process and they see that as part of responsibility. So, and then doing those things and just kind of getting order around, that'll be good. So cool. I like it.
Awesome. What's my homework?
Yeah. I know, I've got to assign you homework too.
You don't have to. I'll take a pass.
That would be great, right? That would be great. You know, and I had something in mind and I lost the thought. So I tell you what, I'm going to think on it and not do it on the podcast because I had a good idea and lost it. But I'm going to think about it and then text it to you and then we'll talk about it next week. So there's some suspense for next week.
That sounds good.
All right, cool. All right, that is this week's 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time podcast. We will talk to everybody next week. Bye.